The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, NewsWeb Radio.
Take your canvas bags when you go to the supermarket. Why use plastic ones when you know the world can't take it? Take your canvas bags when you go to the supermarket, yeah. Don't you use those plastic ones, no. Don't you know that you'll feel better for it? Take your canvas bags. Take your canvas bags to the supermarket. Take your canvas bags to the supermarket. All the ladies in the house, come on and let me hear you say canvas. All the fellas in the house, come on and let me hear you say bags. Take your canvas bags.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Bertold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Well, where's the funny little comment that she makes about me at the top of that? Actually, it's my fault. Obviously, when I was editing there, I was moving too fast. That's okay. I'm back. Wait, I'm digging in here.
Uh-oh, hurry.
I said, I'm back.
There we go.
All right.
Welcome back, Mike.
Well, thank you. You guys did a great job, though. You really did.
Well, we filled 2 hours of space.
we did more than that.
Yeah, you filled 2 hours and 3 seconds of space. I don't know.
With excellent content.
We had great guests last week.
And you guys lined up the guests, too. So, you know, and it's what I tell people. I think you're figuring out the secret. It's like, get great guests, and then it's a piece of cake.
Then it was just like sitting down at the kitchen table and having a conversation.
And that's what it is, you know, when it's working well, mm-hmm. at the best of times.
Well, our little contest didn't work out that well. But we tried.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I haven't caught the all in the second hour. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
what did you do?
Well, we had a contest, the top five callers who rode to work that week, and then the longest distance would win a prize, but we only had two callers.
You know, there you go. You know, people, they might participate and they don't. And
my friends all said, well, I was going to call. And I was like, well, why didn't you?
You know, and a lot of folks are like that. Well, I really thought about it. Yeah. And.
Well, then call.
And, you know, it's only a radio program, a call-in radio program. Huh?
So that was a little bit of a rookie move on our part because we didn't really know how to bail ourselves out of that at the end.
Oh, but, well, that's why you always line up. You know, my secret is just you just have enough guests.
And we filled the space.
And although, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, there's always something you can talk about.
And our winning cyclist rode 34 miles round trip.
Between?
Home and work.
Oh, for the bike to work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, he was excited.
Mm-hmm.
This happened
and exhausted.
But does this?
That's a long. You know what?
That's a long way, but he does it every day, even in the winter. So it's not a change.
You know, good for him.
Yes. So we got this awesome bell that Sarah brought in and donated.
Good for a bell.
Mm-hmm. Bike bell.
Bike bell. I've got a bike bell on my bike.
You know that one?
Yeah, I got ding 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 on mine. You know, and oh, okay. I got to give you my bike story. This happened several weeks ago. I was riding my bike, in the city and, doing what I was doing was a little illegal.
Were you doing wheelies?
Are you kidding me?
Doing deliveries?
I was on the sidewalk simply because,
whoops.
Well, this was on Diversey where it goes over the bridge.
Oh, okay.
By the bowling alley.
As we learned last week from our guests, you cannot be older than 12.
And be on the sidewalk.
And be on the sidewalk.
Go tell that to all the people on the sidewalk. But I did simply because at that point, the street gets really narrow. And I don't want to get sideswiped by a car.
Right.
You know? So I'd rather take my chances on the sidewalk. Well, except there were these kids there. And so there were two groups of kids, and they were obviously getting out of school. They were teenage types, all right? So I'm guessing 13, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in that ballpark. So first group of kids is guys, and there's two of them. And I go ding, 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 ding with my bell, and I assume that they're going to go move to the right so I can pass on the left. They move to the left, okay. And I wanted, you know, except that I'm on the sidewalk and breaking the law, I wanted to yell at them, you know, in America, we pass on the left. But they were just kids. So I just let it go. So then I come up on the next group of kids, two guys, two girls. Or was it four girls? It was four. Okay. So I just done where the guys moved to the left and I had to pass on the right. So I tried again. So I go, ding, 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 ding. They split. Two go to the left, two go to the right. And I just thought, does anybody here know how this works? You know, it used to be when I was on the bike and I would be riding along the lakefront or something like that. You go, on your left, you would yell that as you went forward so that people would let you pass on the left because that's normally how we pass in America. Where this is not Great Britain.
I shout out to your left, coming, you know, passing on the left.
Right.
I call it out.
Okay. Snappy J Dog, who is the chief cook and bottle washer for Purple Leaf Farms, just tweeted, sometimes you have no choice but sidewalk. And that is true. And she also said she had a great time last week, and it was good listening to her.
Oh, she
as
did
well.
A great job.
And by the way, Sarah Bat, I should let you know that Rob Carthol is there in the booth answering phones today.
How about it?
And I see you've got Lamanda Joy ready to go, and we will talk to her in just a second. Lisa Albrecht is here. Hi.
Hi.
And thank you for taking charge last week. You were awesome.
Thank you.
The rookie.
I'm the rookie, yeah.
Carol Brewer is here, and... Sarah Batka is on assignment out there, but she tweets in that kids ruin everything. She just tweeted.
Sarah actually invited me to speak at the Master Gardeners event on Tuesday.
Oh, Great.
Yes.
Is it a graduation?
I don't know that it's a graduation.
Or it's a monthly. They do a monthly thing.
Yeah. Garfield. Yeah.
Yeah. But monthly thing. I might have to stop by. Who knows? On the show today, you know, here I am just blabbing away. Go to my website. One of the things I'm going to tell you about is that this past week, which was crazy for me, I was in Toronto to a wedding, a gay wedding, which was pretty fun. They called it a love party.
We didn't talk about that on the air.
That's okay. I'm back now.
No, we kept on the down low.
And not because of the gay, just because I was out of town.
No, just
because
you were out of town.
But the wedding part was cool. It was the talent show afterward that nearly killed
my.
Me. Yeah, they had a talent show. Okay, you're going to love
this. There's photos.
Well, there is on my Facebook page, actually.
Oh.
Of me doing a sketch about crossing into Canada.
I did see a picture of
we
you.
We called ourselves the United Statesians. The United Statesians, you know, because you can't call yourself Americans because Canadians are Americans, too. Mexicans are Americans. Sorry. So I've decided that the new word should be United Statesians because it's so clunky. We deserve that title. Don't you think?
Sounds
it's so clunky. So we called ourselves the United Statesians. Invade Canada. And, you know, we talked about duty-free stuff and driving over the border with fruit. In the car, you can't cross into Canada with fruit. Eat the fruit. Eat the fruit now. You know we're on the bridge. Don't throw that cantaloupe out the window. It's orange. They'll see it. And actually, they were pretty easy going.
You and Kathleen in the car,
and a friend of ours, Karen, part of the family, and the three of us came up with this sketch though. Then about this, but the thing was in this ceremony after the ceremony. The ceremony was the love party, very fun, great time. And then they decided to have a talent show for the party afterward. The what do you call it? The reception. Okay. 27 people were on the bill to do talent.
Wow.
And 80,
no shy folks in that crowd.
And 80, no, but 80% of them were just doing tributes. It was like somebody had died at this wedding. Oh, I've known them for so long, and they're just so and the thing went on for 4 hours.
Oh.
A four-hour show.
Oh, my. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Open bar?
No alcohol.
Oh.
No alcohol.
Well,
so,
good on ya.
So you load it up on iced tea, and watched people do tributes to people who weren't even dead yet and won't be dead for many, many decades.
Did you want to do a second skit at the end?
No, I wanted to go to sleep is what I wanted to do. Love you, Healy. The show is too long. Okay, the Mike Novak Show is only 2 hours, half of what the talent show was. And today, LaManda Joyce standing by in the wings. We'll get to her in just a second. Aphids. Rob, you told me aphids are a problem this year. LaManda was the first one to alert me to it earlier in the week. I had no idea. And then I walk out my backyard and I see that my cup plants are covered in aphids. Oh, my goodness. Are you seeing it in gardens?
Yeah, I'm seeing it all around in Humboldt Park and all the gardens. And loud it on the milkweed is maybe we'll be talking about trap plants. I'm interested to hear what.
Oh, okay. Well, some organic controls. And by the way, if you've got organic controls for aphids, call us 773-763-9278. Or if you've got horror stories about aphids in your yard, 773-763-9278. LaManda Joy was just voted best urban gardener in Chicago by the Reader in their best of issue.
That's awesome.
Let's give her a ding. And she's hanging on, and I'll get to her in a second. Hang on, LaManda. Frank Frelka, you don't know who he is. He's a listener. And he wrote to me several weeks ago and said, are you going to the Midwest Renewable Energy Association Energy Fair? You know about this, right?
I want to every year, but you know, it's so far.
I know. It's up in Custer, Wisconsin. And he said, you should broadcast from there. I said, not going to happen. Yeah. So I said, why don't you report on it? And he said, okay.
Great.
So he will be on the show to tell us what's going on up there. Randall Arnold, I'm very happy. Oh, by the way, Rick DeMaio weather at 9:45 as always. Randall Arnold, General Superintendent, Forest Preserve District of Cook County, is back on the show to talk about their 100-year celebration of the Forest Preserves. And actually, the whole story of how the Forest Preserves came together is pretty fascinating. But what we're interested in is what they're doing to celebrate for the next 3 years and the vision for, well, the next 100 years, assuming we're all here. Yeah, we do other things that sort of blow up the planet and stuff. But that's just me, you know? But Randall Arnold is here. And then it's Tree Talk with the Care of Trees with Paul Hollingsworth, vascular diseases.
I'm very curious about that.
Like?
I don't know that trees have vascular systems.
They? Are you kidding me?
That's all it is.
I didn't know that's what it's called.
Oh. Well,
I mean,
see,
I know there's sap and all that, but I didn't know it was called a vascular system.
Of course they have.
I don't recall that as a kid.
Xylem and phloem. Right?
Right.
Right, Rob?
I guess I just didn't realize it was called all that.
You're a Carol, you're shaking your head?
You're looking at me. Because I don't know either.
Xylem and phloem.
And your listeners are like screaming at their radio, at the radio saying, why are they on the air?
I hope not. Well, Paul.
About
well,
me.
Here's what we're getting. No. That's no. They get it. You know about renewable energy, not so much about trees.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's okay. Can't know everything. Paul Hollingsworth from the Care of Trees, a Davey Company. Great sponsor on the show. We'll be here in the second hour. And what the first question will be, please explain the vascular system of a tree for Lisa. How's that?
That's lovely.
In 25 words or less.
Well, because at this rate, we're not going to have time for guests.
By the way, David Zaber just wrote, cup plants covered by aphids throughout Madison, too. I guess David Zaber's back in town. He's one of our listeners. And I'm like, gosh, he goes all over. He's been all over Africa in the last. I see we're getting some phone calls. So let me take care of some business. We'll get to LaManda Joy and talk about aphids. I didn't realize this was such a huge deal and that everybody's freaking out about it. So that's why we should do it. Now, when you want the materials to do the job right, see the pros at Lake Street Supply. They're Chicago's leader in locally sourced soils and composts for all the virtues of mushroom compost without the worry over pesticides and salts. And you do have to worry about that sometimes. Ask about cow shiitake, their exclusive compost blend. Stop into Lake Street Supply to pick up a rain barrel and receive a 50% rebate from the City of Chicago Sustainable Backyards Program right there on the spot. They've literally got tons of pebbles and boulders to choose from. And just so you know, Lake Street Supply is an authorized Unilock dealer for the best selection in pavers and retaining walls. Choose Unilock. Designed to connect. You know, I hope you do stop by Lake Street Supply. Say hi to Mark Moxley. What great people and what great products they have. If you stop in and say hey to the expert and friendly staff at Lake Street Supply anytime you're looking to improve your urban oasis, just do it. For hours and directions, go to lakestreetsupply.com. Like them on Facebook. Lake Street Supply, a thoughtful approach to landscape supply.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
We're not quite sizzling in summer yet, but that doesn't mean that Bertolt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village can't have a sizzling summer sale. Today is the final day, so you better get over there. And they're featuring a bunch of great deals that you need to get your dirty little hands on. For instance, flats of annuals, $11.11 each. Yes, you heard me right. 4.5-inch annuals are going for only $2.99 each. All roses are 25% off. Buy two perennials and get one free. You think that's good? How about 4-inch veggies and herbs for $1.75 each? I know Rob's looking at me and going, I got to get over there.
That's a good deal.
It is. There are also specials on select nursery stock. Tropicals are 25% off. And there are specials on select items in the gift shop. All of that plus Bertolt's expert, friendly staff to help you with any gardening question you might have. Bertolt's Garden Center is at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front. And Dr. Wally cranking the crank to keep it going. Or go to BertoltsGardenCenter.com. Bertolt's, get green, let's get growing.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
I'm going to say right now, Amtrak Tim just called. Tim, he's got like six items on his wish list. We got to get to Aphids. So, Tim, I want you to call back. I want you to call the show back and talk to me next week, and we'll have some time for that. If you're looking for beautiful plants and beautiful settings, look no further than The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora. The Growing Place has been growing plants since their beginning as Emma's perennials in 1936. They grow most of their perennials, annuals, herbs, vegetables in mums in the Aurora location. The Growing Place makes every effort to be responsible, eco-friendly, and sustainable, and they strive to use natural products and practices whenever possible. And are you familiar with the Growing Place choice plants? They stay attractive with minimal care and live long, healthy lives when planted in the right place. And that's always the key, of course. The staff at The Growing Place has combined their extensive knowledge and experience to select this list of eco-friendly plant choices. Growing plant choice plants are noted on signage, and many are found planted in the learning gardens. Stop by and pick up copies of the lists for sun and shade plants. The Growing Place is in Naperville at 25 West 471 Plank Road and in Aurora at 2000 Montgomery Road. Go to thegrowingplace.com for tips, specials, and plant lists. The Growing Place is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. Of course, this is my tribute to the supermoon. Did everybody see the supermoon last night?
Oh yeah, we did.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're laughing at me, Rob. Some people actually were out there looking at the supermoon. I was one of them. I'll bet LaManda Joy was one of them, too. LaManda, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Did you see the supermoon last night?
I did. I basked in the beauty of the supermoon last
night. See? There you go. And congratulations on your being, I'm not sure how they do their votes at the reader there, but is it kind of a people's choice thing?
I have no idea. I was flabbergasted and excited, so I'll do more research. But it was pretty exciting.
And LaManda was voted somehow the best urban gardener in the city. Well, that makes total sense. I can't imagine why you wouldn't get that award. So congratulations. It's great stuff.
Thank you.
And so I've run into, and of course, LaManda, for those of you who don't know, is the chief cook and bottle washer of, and I use that title a lot, don't I, for the Peterson Garden Project, which has now got how many gardens and how many people involved?
We have 9 gardens on the north side, and we have about 3,000 gardeners and volunteers working with us. It's awesome.
3,000 volunteers?
And gardeners.
And gardeners. That's just amazing. That's an army. It's an army of people.
People want to grow food, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they do. And that's what you've taught them about, is how to grow food. How to be sustainable, because you use sustainable techniques, correct?
Yes, our gardens are all 100% organic. We teach everybody basic gardening skills, teaching how to do it organically. We use unused urban land for a short amount of time, and then, you know, when the land's not available anymore, we move somewhere else and teach people there.
Right, and if you want more information about, you know, and perhaps want to get involved, and I imagine that you're filled up for this year, right?
We are, yeah. We still have some waiting lists for this year.
And that's the amazing thing, is that you got 9 gardens and 3,000 people involved, and you still got a waiting list for folks, which means that if you want to do it, you got to get on the waiting list now for next year. And you just go,
well, we don't do a waiting list for next year. We're just, we do that. We'll start registration again in the spring, but we don't carry it over from year to year. And once we start new gardens, we're looking at 2 next year. That'll be pretty substantial if they come through. Then that will help to decrease the wait list.
You're gonna have more gardens than there is park district land in the city of Chicago pretty soon.
Well, I don't know about pretty soon. The park district has a lot of land,
and they also do some gardening too.
They do.
You can get involved with the park district in various locations to grow food. But I'm with LaManda. We were at a dinner the other night, put together by our dear friend, the inimitable Jennifer Brennan, and a bunch of horticulturists around a table. And of course, I turned to LaManda and I say, "What's up?" And she says, "Aphids." I said, "Oh, come on, really?" Because I hadn't noticed. Of course, what you don't know, LaManda, is the next day I go out in my backyard and I'm walking past my cup plants, which are Silphium perfoliatum is the Latin name, and they are native prairie plants, and they were covered in aphids. I mean, just these little red aphids on there all over the green stems. It was remarkable, and I thought, wow, I guess we are having an aphid thing here, aren't we?
They're gross, aren't they?
They are, because they don't just sit there chowing down. They kind of hop around a little bit, too. And you sort of go, ooh, ooh. And by the way, my buddy, Dan Costa, has also called in. Dan, hang on, because I'm going to bring you in, too, because obviously Dan has some other information about that. So I'm glad he called. But let's start with you, LaManda, because one of the folks who wrote to me this week said, "I got aphids on my apple tree. What do I do?" And they had tried spraying some horticultural soap, insecticidal soap, which is very benign, which is one of the recommended treatments for aphids. And they said it kind of worked, but they still wanted more help. And you suggested to me the ladybug thing, because we know ladybugs are beneficial insects, and they prey on aphids. I guess one of the things you need to know about aphids is that they reproduce fantastically.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're born pregnant.
They're born pregnant. Did you know that, folks? There's the tweet that. Tweet that, baby. Aphids are born pregnant.
Is that real?
Is that real? Yeah, it is.
It's not a joke?
No, it's not a joke.
Wow, that beats cats.
And their litters are larger, too.
Where did I find this? All right, I'm going to track this down. But tell us about, because I was looking it up yesterday to make sure I wasn't, you know, perpetrating an urban myth. Nope, it ain't no urban myth. This is true. Tell us about what you recommended, LaManda.
Okay, the first line of defense with aphids, they're very fragile little creatures, and they feed on nitrogen. So they're probably going to hang out around the new growth of your plant. So if you have tomatoes and you have some blossoms coming, that's new growth. There's more nitrogen there. They're going to hang out there. If you have an apple tree, they're going to hang out on the new growth of the apple tree. So one thing you want to make sure is that you don't over-nitrogen your plants. You want to give them an organic, slow-release type of nitrogen that'll help. The easiest thing, the first thing I recommend is get your garden hose out and spray them off. Because what they'll do is they'll cluster in those nitrogen-heavy areas, and they have like a little proboscis that goes into the plant and sucks, you know, sucks the juices out. If you spray them, their nose breaks off essentially, and they
Ouch.
Fall to the ground. Ouch, yes. And then they're eaten by beneficial insects there, spiders, other things. So try spraying them off first, especially if you have a heavy infestation. Of course, you can always cut off the growth. We have some espaliered apple trees that had some aphids, so we cut off that new growth, which is fine. It's not going to be producing apples this year anyway, and we just threw it away. So that's another way to get rid of them.
Yeah, I noticed. I've done that before, too, and I'm actually thinking about that with the cup plants because cup plants are really prolific as well. And they'll they'll send another Lisa has her hand up. Yes, Lisa?
Another question from the I don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, by the way, when we get to the cup plant, yes, hold on. we'll answer that in a second, but
right.
I'm on the Colorado State University site. It says all about aphids. It says, okay, this is a quote from their site. Aphids typically hatch the egg within their body, giving birth to an active nymph stage. Newborn aphids literally are born pregnant with eggs that will result in live births within 10 to 14 days. There
That's
you go.
Crazy.
Okay, and your question is, what's a cup plant?
What's a cup plant?
Anybody want to explain that? I will. I'd be happy to. It's actually a prairie plant that grows to about 5-6 feet tall, and it has yellow flowers that look like daisies. And it's extremely prolific. If you let it go to seed in your yard, it will produce many, many. In fact, my neighbor's yard is littered with cup plants because I've grown them in my yard.
Oh.
Yeah. And they, and.
You grew them on purpose?
I grew them on purpose, and then I realized how rapidly they multiply. So now I'm pretty careful. When the seedlings come up, I tend to rip them out and save just a couple. And you got to be really careful with them because they're growing all over my alley behind my garage and cracks in the pavement and stuff like that. But they are a wonderful prairie plant. They're just really, really prolific. Does that kind of describe it, LaMand? Are you familiar with cup plant?
I'm not, but, you know, that brings up a good point, Mike, is that a cup plant in this instance can work as a trap crop. So if the aphids like your cup plant, then they might leave your other stuff alone. So nasturtiums are also a trap crop. So if you plant nasturtiums, the aphids like nasturtiums better than they like anything else. So they'll go to your nasturtiums.
So basically you're sacrificing certain. Rob, you were going to ask a question about that, trap plants. But the idea is you plant, put a plant in there so that the aphids will go to that plant. You sacrifice that plant so they don't go to the other ones that you want. And what was your question, Rob?
That's basic. I've seen them on the milkweed, the common just milkweed that comes up in the garden. So I leave that go, and then the aphids are on that. And I've been harvesting the aphids, basically. Like, they're all over the top leaves, like LaMand was saying. So I just pull away those top leaves.
Right, and once you toss that away, they can't get back to the plant. It's not like they can do that. Anything else that we missed, LaMand? Now, you said that you talked about the first line of defense, but you were also going to talk about ladybird beetles, also known as ladybugs.
Yes, well, the middle step before you get to ladybugs.
Okay.
Use some sort of, you call it horticultural soap. You know, you can take a gallon milk jug, put a couple tablespoons of like a peppermint Dr. Bronner's or an unscented soap or, you know, Mrs. Meyer's lavender, whatever, some organic soap. And then you can also put garlic oil in it and you can spray that on your plants. Now, I suggest that if you just have a few aphids, because if you don't have an infestation, and infestation is like you're so creeped out you can barely look at it, that's an infestation. If you don't have a lot of aphids, then your ladybugs are just going to fly away. But if you do have a lot and you want to bring in some ladybugs, you can order them online. They come in batches of like 1,500, and they're in a little, like a little cottage cheese container with air holes in it. And what you do is at night, you go to the plant that's infested. You sort of hose it down a little bit so it's damp because the ladybugs are thirsty when they get out of their container. And then you you release them at the base of the plant. And if you do it at dusk, then they'll sort of settle in for the night. They'll take a little drink, and then in the morning, they'll go to work on your plant. Now, you want to leave them at the base of the plant so they climb up through the plant and find out what's going on. Again, if you don't have a ton of aphids, they're going to just fly off to where there is a ton of aphids. So my husband, who I like to call Peter the Aphid Slayer, has purchased 9,000 ladybugs for our 1,700-square-foot yard, which is probably enough for an acre of farm. And he started to call them ladybugs because we released them, and then the next day there aren't many left. I'm like, honey, it's because our infestation isn't really an infestation, but whatever. He likes to do that, so...
So you really, yeah, notice how much, how many aphids you have. I think at this point I do want to bring in Dan Costa from Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale. Dan, how are you?
Hi, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Did we miss anything here? What did you what did you want to add to the conversation about aphids?
Aphids are mostly, they're around all season, but they're mainly a spring insect because they feed on the new growth, the soft succulent growth.
Right.
And so they're out in the spring, and it's been really no surprise to me that they're abundant this year because all the rain we had. There's a lot of new growth on the plants, and aphids are just having a field day with all the places to feed. And the other day I had a customer come in. Lady brought in a piece of a twig off of a cherry tree. And the tip, the leaves at the tip were all curled around, and there was black stuff on it. She's like, what's going on with this? I looked, and I don't think you could have fit another aphid on those leaves if you tried. It was just packed with these black aphids.
See, now why do I have orange ones? That's what I want to know.
They come in every color of the rainbow plus a few others. I've seen beautiful blue ones and red ones.
Really?
Green ones, black ones. Typically, I find the black ones are the hardest ones to kill, by the way. They seem a little more resistant.
That's interesting. I would want, you know, I wonder if we can get an aphid expert in here to talk about the different colored aphids.
They're probably all different species.
You're probably right.
Mm-hmm. But when the lady said this was on her cherry tree, I told her to get a arborist to come out and a service to come out and spray it for her.
Well, that's a good question, though. How much damage is going to be done to a tree like that? Or is it, and as you said, they're spring insects. You know, what mm-hmm. what happens?
Well, pretty much destroyed the new growth for the year.
You know,
because the leaves are all messed up. So it will weaken the tree. I'm sure the tree will survive it, but I don't think it's going to be a fatal problem.
Yeah.
But the reason that I told her to get somebody to come in and spray it, a professional, is because of the rule that says you should never spray anything that's higher than your forehead. Most people, when they spray, do not put on protective equipment, and they forget about a little thing called gravity. So they'll be spraying up in the air over their heads, and of course some of the spray is raining back down on top of them, and that's not a very healthy thing.
No, that's a really good, that's a really good point and a good tip there, Dan. People are, you know, it's like in the cartoon when you saw the branch that you're on, that's not a good thing either.
Yeah, you don't want to be sitting on the tip end.
Exactly. LaManda, any other thing that we've missed here?
Well, you know, there's other things that like to eat aphids. There's lace wings, there's different midges, and I think it's really important just to note that when you have an organic garden, you want to create an environment where the beneficial insects take care of the non-beneficial insects. So that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a really good point. Usually there's, you know, except when you have instances where we had a lot of rain like this, a lot of growth, and obviously the aphids in general are kind of crazy. things tend to balance out in an organic garden. Yes, Lisa?
That's so quite true.
David Siebert just sent in a quick tip on organic control, and he said take a cup of chopped tomato plant leaves, add 1 liter of water, and let it sit for 24 hours. Strain that, dilute it to 2 liters, and use a sprayer. You can spray that on the underneath side of the leaves.
Yeah, and that's I should also look on the under side of the leaf as well. And that, you know, that's one that I've just noticed too, Dan and Lamanda, is that apparently aphids don't like tomato leaf juice.
There's toxins in it.
Yeah, so
tomatoes have toxic chemicals.
Yeah, but not harmful to other plants, I would assume.
No, not to other plants, but to animals.
Yeah. So, and with anything, you know, read and follow label directions if you're using, and if you're using biologicals, same thing. Read up on it, know what you're getting into.
I recommend the canola oil spray that Espoma puts out in their line of earth tone, I believe it's called.
Uh-huh.
It's the blue bottle. So I always just told the customer, just grab the blue bottle. And it's just canola oil and salt and pyrethrum. So it's very, very light, you know, in case somebody does get it on themselves, it's not going to hurt them too badly.
So there you go, the blue bottle from Espoma as well. So there's, you know, and as we're saying, these aphids have a lot of predators. They're easy to knock off. They just happen to appear in huge numbers, and that's why they're difficult to deal with.
Yeah, as soon as you see them, you got to do something.
Yeah,
can't wait.
Lamanda?
Well, I think they're sort of like krill, too, in the sea. They're part of the food chain.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have the healthy insects, they should take care of themselves. But I agree, this year it's been so wet, and as the other gentleman said, there's been so much new growth, it's a little bit crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you both. Lamanda Joy, the newly crowned best urban gardener in Chicago by the Chicago Reader.
Yay.
And Dan Costa, are you the best Hinsdale gardener, do you know?
I don't garden in Hinsdale.
Oh, okay. Well, no, that's right. You're in Westchester.
Yes.
All right, best gardener in Westchester that I know.
Sounds good.
All right, and he's at Vern Gore's greenhouse. Stop in and harass him someday. And I want to thank you both for being on the show and addressing the aphid problem. And if anybody else has solutions that they've tried out, you know, post it on my Facebook page, The Mike Novak Show. I could use a few more likes for that. Post it on Twitter. Write me an email. We'll get it up there. And both of you have a great Sunday, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Rob, I'm going to talk to you in a second. First, I'm going to let people know that it used to be, you know, speaking of organic products, it used to be that gardeners looking for a general purpose organic insect control product were usually disappointed. Organics were hit and miss when it came to control. Some would take care of caterpillars, but not beetles. Other were effective on beetles, but wouldn't control aphids or thrips. That was before Bonide finally said, "Arr," and introduced their line. I don't know if they actually said that. Somebody in a conference room, I think with a cigar in hand, said, "Arr," and introduced their line of Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew insecticides containing spinosad insect control. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew has products and controls a wide variety of insects. Some difficult to control insects such as thrips, aphids, Japanese beetles, caterpillars, and other leaf feeding insects are well controlled. Captain Jack's is also effective on borers, miners, and other insects, which have not been, and notice I did say aphids on that. So I suppose you could go the route of Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Borers, miners, other insects which have not been as susceptible to organic products in the past. And you can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at these fine retailers. Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, Platt Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale and Carpentersville, Abel's, Ace Hardware in Homer Glen, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you and download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid.
I'm Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago,
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season, offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus, local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. I've got to go check the soil temperatures.
Does this pancake make my face look fat?
Here is a tip from the Care of Trees. Vascular diseases, here's that word again, can be devastating to your trees because they affect the transport of water within the tree. The three most common in our area. Are you listening, Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay. Dutch elm disease, oak wilt, and verticillium wilt, which can affect maple, elm, magnolia, and redbud trees. Now, symptoms are of vascular disease are similar to those of water stress. Leaves begin to wilt, often turning yellow or brown and drying up. Affected leaves may drop from the tree or remain attached. Discoloration of the water-conducting tissues beneath the bark, or streaking, as it's called, is commonly present. Some vascular diseases can be confirmed on site, but the only positive ID method involves taking samples to the lab. We'll talk to Paul Hollingsworth from the Care of Trees about these diseases in the second hour. Meanwhile, to schedule a free consultation from the Care of Trees, call 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466. If you call on Sunday, today, leave a message, and your call will be returned tomorrow. Or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
And then your announcer says, summer is officially here, which means it's a great time to stop in and see what's new at Christy Weber's Farm and Garden Center. Did you know that the City of Chicago sustainable backyard rebates are now available at the register? That's right. It's an instant rebate, and Christy Weber's Farm and Garden Center is just one of the few retail locations where you can purchase a rain barrel, compost bin, trees, shrubs, or native plants and get up to 50% back right away. Complete details are available at the Farm and Garden Center, and while you're there, pick up a hanging geranium or calibrachoa basket to brighten up your patio or garden. Don't know what calibrachoa is? Well, stop in and they'll show you exactly what it is. Select baskets are on sale now, so hurry in before your neighbor snags them all. Look for Christy Weber Landscapes and the Farm and Garden Center on Facebook and check out their webpage at christyweber.com. Christy Weber Landscapes, right in your own backyard. Yeah. You know, the other teams have to really hate this song.
Oh,
do they just play it at the Hawks, or do they play it all over the league?
I believe they only play it at the Hawks games. They play that other song at all the other games.
Really?
Yeah. I think when they won the Stanley Cup in 2010, I remember hearing some big whole history of it.
All right. Let us go to line one and bring in Ricky D. Mr. DeMaio, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Mike, but I have to say, is that not the silliest song you've ever heard?
I know.
It's so catchy.
It is very catchy.
I don't know the words, though. There are words.
Well, there are words.
I think the words are... there you go.
There's real words. Wait, I'm going to look all this up.
Yeah, it's the kind of song that you can sing when you're really drunk and you'll never really mess it up. Think about it.
That's true. And listen, here, this is some of the song. Oh, well,
no,
it's not the...
It's not...
That's the chorus.
I'm going to get that. I'll get it up. Well, you must be a boy with bones like that. She said you got me. But I feel like it has some history with the team somehow.
It's Chelsea Dagger is the name of the song.
Chelsea Dagger.
Yeah.
That almost sounds like some sort of a character in a novel in, like, early 1800s London where someone was like, a murder suspect or something like that.
It might be. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's British. I don't know. I haven't looked up the song. I have no idea.
Like whatever that show is, Downton Abbey, it's like, I know who did it. It was Chelsea Dagger.
Exactly.
But for some reason, that song can't be infused into Downton Abbey. I don't think about that. I don't know about that.
No, not Downton Abbey. No, I don't think so.
But I have to say, from a meteorological perspective, hats off to the facilities managers of the United Center to keep that ice as cold and as hard as it was in a very warm and humid environment, because you heard what was happening.
It was a big deal in Boston.
Yeah, it was a big deal in Boston. And I remember there was several Stanley Cup playoffs that went well into mid-June in a couple of warm environments. They actually had fog forming on one end of the ice. And I don't know if that's going to happen in Boston. Was it Monday night? Is that when they're playing, Mike? Monday night, tomorrow night?
Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is, because it may not be as warm and humid there. But it just seems weird to be playing hockey in the summertime, doesn't it?
It is. It's crazy. But I also realized that there's a certain segment of people listening to this show right now who have no idea why I played that music and what the heck we're talking about. I mean, you know, unless you watch...
They need to get on the bandwagon.
Well, unless they go to the hockey games or watch the hockey games, that's the music that plays every time they score a goal at the Hawks game. So, and then everybody in the whole place gets...
And then, as proud Chicagoans in our affection for music and winning ball clubs, when the White Sox opponent has to change a pitcher, what do? They go na 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 na. So we got da da da, and we have na na na. So we're known for our literary song.
Oh yeah, wah. That's the sophistication of the Chicago fan.
We're a cowtown, cosmopolitan as we think we are, right?
So hey, listen, did we finally hit summer, huh?
Wasn't it nice? Wasn't it nice that the sun decided to come northward for about a day, and now it's already beginning to move south towards the southern hemisphere? Isn't that depressing?
It is depressing. I always think, yep, this is the longest day of the year, and it only gets worse from here on in.
But the good news is that the amount of heat that the Earth is still getting and re-radiating back into the lower atmosphere is gonna continue for another 4 to 5 weeks. I always try to tell people about how even though the longest day of the year and the most sun we get is actually on the first day of summer, the warmth that we actually receive from the Earth re-radiating atmosphere where we live really maximizes somewhere between about the 15th and the 20th of July, similar to the amount of cooling that we get between about the 15th and 20th of January. So it's called the lag effect. And one way of thinking about it is the hottest time of the day is not noon, but the hottest time is usually around 3 o'clock. So your lag effect works both on a daily and also a seasonal effect. And it's one of the reasons why we generally tend to have our warmest weather in that third week of July. But it was amazing. Like this week, we actually topped out 2 days in the mid-90s this time last year. And we were already well on our way to, I believe it was the 13th day above 90 for the summer of 2012. And so far, only one this summer, well, one this summer season, if you want to call it that. And we may hit one today, and then I think that might be it. So our expected long duration of temperatures in the low 90s is kind of quelled by a lot of this high cloudiness and, you know, off and on thunderstorms that continue to push across the upper Midwest. So not much of a heat wave, kind of a warm wave, and a lot of rain as well to boot.
Well, are we going to get more rain here? And you're saying that the 90s are going to go away?
You know what? It's hard to hit 90 degrees when you have all this high cloud cover. You can kind of see it out there right now. This is kind of a byproduct of these storms that are kind of moving through eastern Iowa. And you look at the radar right now, and there is a solid wall of rain all the way from Duluth, Minnesota to Des Moines, all the way down to Kansas City. And it's tough to get warm when you have all that rain out there to the west. And that was kind of like what happened yesterday. Everything looked like we were going to be in the mid to upper 80s. We topped out at only 80. We had storms move through DeKalb, storms move through Rockford, 2 to 3 inches of rain there. Southern areas of Wisconsin, west of Madison, just getting absolutely pelted, anywhere between 8 and 10 inches just in the last 2 days. And believe it or not, they have flood warnings and mudslide warnings for areas surrounding the Mississippi River around Prairie, Duchenne, and La Crosse, because they've had almost a foot of rain, and they're still getting more rain on top of it. I don't think I've ever seen the possibility for mudslides along the Mississippi River.
Wow.
And that just shows you that the ground just can't handle any more of this. So when you get 30 inches of rain in 5 months, and then you put another 8 to 10 inches on top of it in 2 days, and the ground says, I can't do this anymore. So here we are hoping for some rain going into the growing season, and now we're hoping for dry weather, you know, kind of like an antithesis of what we had around here last year.
Unbelievable how things change in just a year. So quickly give us the forecast.
Yeah, bottom line is we'll call it a mixture of sun and high clouds today, probably right up around 88, maybe 89 degrees. But it does look like thunderstorms come back into the area from Monday morning as this next wave of low pressure kind of moves over what we call the heat dome. So only mid-80s tomorrow, mid-80s Tuesday, and probably mid-80s Wednesday. If we get some sun, we'll get back up to near 90. And then, Mike, believe it or not, next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right back into a cooler pattern. The pattern that eventually wants to become summer did for about 5 days, but it looks like temperatures only in the 70s with clouds and showers much of next weekend. So enjoy today. It'll probably be the warmest, sunniest day around here for about 5 days. As this time next week, we'll be talking about a cool pattern across the area.
Unbelievable. And one of our tweeters just said, hey, how about a congratulations to the Blackhawks for last night's games? Okay, congratulations, Blackhawks.
I'm pretty sure
number 7 is going to be, I think, a little bit harder game, but we'll see how all that works out.
All right, I'll talk to you next week, Rick.
Okay, see you, Mike.
My shoes, my toes are busted. My kitchen says my bread is molded. I got a good job at the dollar store. 1 foot in the hole, 1 foot getting deeper with a broken mirror and a blown out speaker. And I ain't got much else to lose. I'm faded, flat busted.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
I've seen better days. I've been starved in plays. I've seen better days.
Yeah, that's what always happens on this show. It's just the bottom just drops right out. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. That's just amazing that we're going to go back into cool weather, Rick DeMaio saying. Interesting.
Well, I'm okay with that because I have guys on rooftops working. So I'm good with 80.
Very cool. Speaking of that, I'm glad that you. That's our segue into the segment that.
See what a professional I am.
You are, even accidentally. let us go to line two and bring in Frank Frelka. Frank, are you there?
Yes, Mike, I'm here. I'm just sitting out in my backyard next to the pool.
Well, how nice is that? Is any sign of rain? Is the sun out? What's going on?
Yeah, sun's shining, looking real good, and not too hot. I was looking for a little heat today because I haven't been in the pool yet. Today I'm going to break it in.
You know, there's a lot of people, I think, who've doing the same thing or haven't done the same thing. You know, been into the pools, been not a lot of chance to do that this year. And if you heard Mr. DeMaio, you know, we're gonna try to nudge into some hot weather, but it might not happen.
Yes.
Very interesting. But Frank, now Frank, you got to understand, I assume you're a listener to the show, right?
I'm a listener, yes.
And I appreciate that. But let me give you a ding there. And Frank writes me several weeks ago and he says, hey, you going up to the MREA in Custer, Wisconsin? And I'm like, what's the MREA in Custer, Wisconsin? He says, you know, you should broadcast from there. And then I looked at a map and I saw it was like, Point Stevens up there. And I've spoken in Point Stevens. That's a haul.
It's 215 miles. It took me 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, Frank, why don't you handle it yourself and just do a report for me about the Midwest Renewable Energy Association 2013 Energy Fair. And Lisa, of course, who works in the solar industry, knows all about this. But it's even far for you, isn't it, Lisa?
Oh, it's really far. My guys all went up, I think, this weekend.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, a number of my guys drove up there. Yep.
There were a lot of solar installers up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and okay, I'm going to bust you here, Frank, though.
Okay.
What'd you do last week?
Oh, God, I feel like such a lunkhead. My buddy Greg Karlov and I went up a week early. And we felt kind of foolish.
Yeah, but, did you?
You scouted the route.
You got to Custer? Did you get all the way to Custer?
Yeah, we checked in our motel about midnight on Thursday night in Stevens Point. And he got on his iPhone to see what time, you know, everything started. And he says, guess what? It's next week.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was kind of a disappointment. But we went to the office to ask what was going on because it's always the third weekend of June. But they didn't count the first weekend of June because Saturday was June 1st. And they wanted it to be closer to the summer solstice, too, you know, that whole solar thing.
I'm so sorry.
Free passes for the weekend.
Oh, well, there you go. You earned three free passes by driving 600 miles.
So for all you folks out there for next year.
But we did go up. Greg has a dual fuel pickup truck that he bought from a gas company in Arizona. So we went up on natural gas, and we made all the way there and back on natural gas.
Wow. See, that's cool. Well, this is the kind of stuff you're interested in, I assume, Frank.
Oh yeah. I've always been interested in this kind of stuff. I mean, I think it's kind of important we make a transition off of fossil fuel before it's too late.
Yeah. Lisa, were you going to jump in there?
I was just going to ask if you went to the keynote with Danny Kennedy.
Yes, I did. On Friday, it was about 1 o'clock. He talked for about a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent guy. I bought his book, The Rooftop Revolution, and just saw him walking around the ground, chatted with him for a bit. But he started a company called Sungevity. They're out of California.
Right. He's been on this show.
Yeah, Danny was on the show.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I must have missed that one.
That's okay.
It was at Christmas time. We were promoting the book.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just reading out here in my backyard. But what they do is they'll come in and they'll put solar panels on your roof, and it'll be at no cost to you. They do all the financing. They have all the capital. They take all the risk, and you just pay a monthly fee. So basically, you can make the transition at no cost. They handle all that. And they say on average, 80% of their customers save at least 15% on their electric bill per month,
mm-hmm.
and they get solar. Well, what a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great model for, unfortunately, for other parts of the country. You're seeing it more East Coast, West Coast, Colorado, where their electric rates are, you know, somewhere in the upwards of 15 to 22, maybe even 40 cents at noon. Here, because of community aggregation and how we all have shifted from ComEd, our bills are closer to 6 or 7 cents per kilowatt hour. So those companies aren't here yet. We need higher electric rates. But there, okay, it's a great
Well, no,
plan.
We don't need higher electric rates.
To attract those people, yes.
Yeah, no, to attract, you're right, right to attract right. those people.
Well, we're going to have to pay for the transition one way or another. So
exactly.
The sooner we get started, the better, I think.
Absolutely.
My opinion.
Danny Kennedy is actually going to be here this Thursday.
Oh, okay.
In Chicago.
Well. And, oh, really?
Yes.
Where's he appearing?
Illinois Solar Energy Association is hosting him. He'll be at IIT, and I can put that up on the Facebook page. We talked about it a little bit last week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Danny Kennedy had some real interesting statistics. You know, solar panels or photovoltaics, PVs, were invented in 1954, somewhere in New Jersey. I think Bell Labs. I'm not sure about that.
Correct.
But in 1971, in the U.S., there was like 1 megawatt of generating capability, right? And in 2004, it was 1 gigawatt. In 2012, it was 35 gigawatts. And in about another 10 years, there's going to be 300 gigawatt of manufacturing capacity per year. So it may seem like there's a real slow start, but it seems to really be taking off. I mean, 300 gigawatts, that's like roughly the equivalent of 200-some nuclear power plants, if I got my statistics right here.
Yeah, no, it's really, really exciting to see how fast solar is growing. The media will have you think that it's not, but the statistics definitely show that that is wrong. Just last year alone in the U.S., we installed 3 gigawatts, and that was just in 1 year. So it's growing.
Yeah, and that's a real interesting point, Lisa. You said the media would have you believe that it's not. And I think often it's not, some of it's intentional and some of it's just ignorance.
I would say most of it's, yes, you're right. Not everybody out
well,
there is trying
you know,
to.
Well, on a local level, yes. When people put, you know, and I looked at the coverage, for instance, you know, I testified last Tuesday at the city council about the plastic bag ban.
Thank you for that.
Okay. My pleasure. It was really interesting. And then you watch the coverage and some of it, and I'm not even going to name the station. Okay. But the station, well, there was one station in town that did 2 reports on it. I got interviewed and, the one report included the interview and it was a long piece for them, like 90 seconds, which is a long piece or 2 minutes, whatever it was. And it was pretty balanced. Then they did the short version of it in another cast and it was complete garbage. I mean, it was. Where was all that information that you got from your reporter? Then they go back to this, well, we might have to pay more for paper bags. And it was like this 15-second baloney. And part of the problem is with solar energy is the same thing.
Yep.
People, they don't bother to look up the facts. Reporters are lazy. Anchors are lazier. News writers tend to be ridiculously lazy. You know, where do they get? Do they go to Twitter to get their information?
Well, and we as an industry don't do a great job of heralding our success.
I would agree with that. Yeah, you don't really hear the facts and anything about how things are moving. But things are moving in the right direction. Well, one thing Dan Kennedy said was, you know, it turns out the Mayans were right about 2012 being the end of the world because he says this is the end of the fossil fuel age.
Woo-hoo.
And the solar revolution has begun. You may not notice it, but like walking around the fair, there are at least a dozen, I don't know how many, at least a dozen different solar installers. I mean, where are these companies? But they exist. They're all over the place.
Yes.
I talked to a lady from Central Wisconsin Community College. They said there's just tremendous demand for their training programs on installing solar and solar hot water heaters and PVs. And I mean, there's really a lot going on.
Well, and I don't want to steal any of his thunder, but he recently won an award. And at his acceptance speech, he explained that there are more solar installers in California than actors. There are more solar installers in Texas.
That's not possible.
That's what he said.
In
Texas, more than ranchers. And there are more solar installers in the United States than folks working in coal.
So, you know, that means that if all this progress is happening and we're still subsidizing the oil and gas industries, why is that? And why does this news not seem to reach Washington, D.C.? Why does it not seem to reach our legislatures? That's a real good point. However, back to you, Frank. You have just a couple more minutes because the fair finishes today. I doubt that anybody's in Chicago is going to run up there right now. But tell us what else impressed you about your couple of days there.
Well, I got there 10 o'clock Friday morning, and the first presentation I went to was on raising chickens. They have a whole variety of things. They have beekeeping stuff, but I went to the chickens thing, and I learned what a pullet is. A pullet is a hen that hasn't laid an egg yet. And the only way you can guarantee that you'll get chickens and no roosters is to buy pullets, because sexing chickens is an indefinite art. So I went to that. I went to some presentation about peak oil. These guys, they lay out the facts. 32 billion barrels of oil a year. All right. So when you hear about that find of 8 billion barrels in the Gulf of Mexico, well, that's going to be gone in about, 4 years. They're just not finding enough cheap oil anymore. It's all harder to get. It's all more expensive. They had some presentation about fracking. So fracking, I think, is the legacy of Dick Cheney, although he would probably be proud of that. But there's a specific exemption from the Clean Water and the Clean Air Act for the fracking industry. So
yeah, I know that. That is the most damaging part of his legacy, is that that exemption there, and that's got to be repealed somehow. I don't know how we do it, but it really has to be repealed.
Yeah, I'll support fracking once it's covered by the Clean Air and the Clean Water Acts. Mm-hmm. But until then, forget it. Nothing good about it. They had good food. They got a nice food court there Friday morning. I had a Heroes for breakfast. Along with
yes! Breakfast of champions.
Well, it was great. I was hungry, too. There were four guys from Germany. They were there. They were there on business. I don't know. They sell digesters or something. I'm not sure exactly what they make. Gas.
Anaerobic digesters. We've got one here in Chicago at the plant on the south side.
And some talks of a second one coming.
And who's where?
Talks of a second one coming.
Where?
I spoke at something on Friday, and Melani Eckerd was talking about some. She's going to get me the details so I can get them to you.
All right, cool. Well, it sounds like you had a lovely time there, Frank. I want to thank you for representing Chicago.
Anytime.
And representing the Mike Novak Show there and reporting on it. I appreciate it. Thank you for caring about this issue.
Yeah, it's a big issue. We all need to care about it. Maybe you can make it up there next year. You'll like it.
I might be able to at some point. Field trip. All right.
Yeah.
Frank
right,
Frelka.
Thanks,
well,
you take care. Thanks a lot.
You too. And have a great Sunday. Enjoy the pool and the sunshine.
I will do that.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In just a couple of minutes here, I have Arnold Randall in the studio, who's the general superintendent of the Forest Preserve District of Cook County, and we will be chatting. Now, did you catch the show last week? I hope you did, because you got to hear from a real local farmer who is also a supporter of this program. So I'm a supporter of her. Her name is Jessica Rinks, sometimes known as Snappy J Dog, at least on Twitter. And she has started her own local sustainable CSA that I think you should sign on to. It's called Purple Leaf Farms, located in suburban Elgin. And she grows vegetables, herbs, and cut flowers using organic methods. No synthetic chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, or synthetic fertilizers. Join Purple Leaf Farms CSA and guarantee your family a weekly supply of fresh, local, and pesticide-free food for the whole summer, starting in July. Their options include full and half shares, and in either case, you can get cut flowers, fresh cut flowers, and at least two kinds of herbs. You can even get a flowers-only option. Now, that's a CSA. There are pickup locations in Elgin, Forest Park, Oak Park, Hines VA Hospital, and the UIC Chicago campus. Shares run through late October. Know your farmer. Go to purpleleaffarms.com or call 312-437-7542. 312-437-7542 or purpleleaffarms.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
I've told you that you can depend on Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center on Dempster Street in Des Plaines for everything that grows and everything that goes with the garden season. But you should know about Lurvy's commitment to being green. And I'm not just talking about plants. From recycled clay pavers to permeable pavers to LED lighting, Lurvy continues to find sustainable products and source them from responsible suppliers. Their contractor facility in Des Plaines was built to LEED gold standards. Their focus on sustainable plants is another reason you should stop by. Join them this afternoon at 2 p.m. for a themed planter demonstration, Succulents of Summer, featuring drought-tolerant plants. Watch the planter take shape and learn all the tips and tricks to create a fun and functional planter for your yard, porch, or patio, and it's free. Lurvy's is conveniently located at 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines, just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway, I-294. Go to lurvys.com, and don't forget to like them on Facebook. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Are you aware that we just celebrated the summer solstice? If not, you've obviously never frolicked in your skivvies on a golf green at 3 a.m. waving a tiki torch in the moonlight.
You have.
I mean, we've all done that, right?
I know I have.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. But I digress. It's late June, and if you had a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, you would already have a jump on your neighbors because you would already have a copy of the July-August issue. And you would know about how to harvest herbs without sacrificing any of their flavor. You would know how to install your own DIY drip irrigation system. You would have read the Hardscape 101 story and gained valuable insight into how function follows form. You would know how the Brookfield Zoo is embarking on a 5-year communities and nature effort to make the world more attractive to pollinators, birds, bats, and other creatures. And you would understand that I really do write the column on the inside back page in my skivvies at 3 a.m. by the light of a tiki torch. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
We were at a party.
And now we retreat into the 80s on the Mike Novak Show. I'm very pleased to have in the studio once again Arnold Randall, who is the general and superintendent of the Forest Preserve of Cook County. Welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you back. There's a lot going on. You guys are celebrating 100 years, which in itself is just a remarkable accomplishment, isn't it?
It's pretty amazing when you think about 100 years ago, there were people who were progressive enough and thoughtful enough to set aside lands for public use in perpetuity. And they're very progressive folks at the time.
And, you know, I was reading up on, I actually went to the the Forest Preserve website to see how that went down. And it's interesting how when we're involved in political machinations here in our own time, we say, wow, this is really hard. Is this ever going to happen? And we assume that just things people in 1913, 1914 snapped their fingers and it happened. But right. I went back and read it. And that had been 20 years in the works already to That's get right. the forest preserves. You know, people had come up with the idea, and then how do we acquire the land, and can we get the county board to do it? And then there was an effort to pass the law, and then two more years before the state Supreme Court ruled it constitutional.
Right. Yeah, it was obviously a 20-year, as you mentioned, a 20-year process to get there. And there were people like Jens Jensen, Dwight Perkins. I even read somewhere that Jane Addams had some involvement as well. But Dwight Perkins, Jens Jensen were sort of the leaders of this. And at some point, I think Dwight Perkins, because they wanted to create a law that would hold up under legal scrutiny, they sued themselves to see that the law, that, you know, what they're...
That was really amazing. Yeah, I read that. That is fascinating. I'm going to sue myself to see if the law holds up.
If it holds up, Dwight Perkins.
Who would do that now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You just tried to get away with it.
It's unbelievable. But, you know, yeah. So you had this period, so they got to this period in 1913 where they finally convinced the legislature to pass a law that allowed local counties to create their own forest preserve districts. And in 1914, the voters of Cook County voted to create their own Forest Preserve District. And in 1915, our Forest Preserve commissioners met for the first time. So there's sort of a three-year period that we're celebrating, and we did a big kickoff event about 2 weeks ago to start that process off. And at the Chicago Cultural Center, we invited 400 of our closest friends and supporters and new and old.
You know, I think... My invitation's in the mail, right?
It's still did it, sorry, did it, missed you, Mike.
No, I'm kidding. I actually think I did receive notice of
good,
that.
Good.
And that's what's so interesting is you've spread this out over 3 years, so
yes.
You can get a lot done, and you've got a lot of strategies for basically the next century.
We do. So we're looking at a lot of things. You know, so we've sort of divided into three areas. One is how do we sort of renew our commitment to restoring and protecting these lands? That, you know, it's sort of making sure that everybody knows that's the core of our mission, that we've got these almost 69,000 acres of land now that we're, you know, we continue to protect them and restore them and manage them in the way that they're intended to be managed. But also an education focus and really sort of getting more people out, both through recreation and education. We recognize, although the preserves are used heavily in some places, a lot of places are not, and it's not representative of all the people who live in Cook County. So we're being very aggressive in trying to outreach to people who are not here now, who we think would benefit from being in the preserves, learning about, you know, nature and just being out and recreating in nature. And then we have a whole bunch of planning that we're doing that will lead to actual capital projects. So we just finished a campground master plan last year because we wanted to think camping is one great way to get people in and connected mm-hmm. early in life. We did a recreation master plan. We're going through a trail master plan right now because mm-hmm. Our trail system is probably the most heavily used thing that we have. We have 300 miles of trails. And we're going to be doing a restoration master plan, so really looking at all the restoration work that we do now, but having some overarching standards for the district and sort of guiding principles. Right now, we have a lot of smaller plans for those, but not sort of the overarching plans.
Yeah, obviously, that there's some place you've got to go because I'm sure that there are a lot of people. I'm one of them that has, I live in the center of Chicago, so I don't get out to mm-hmm. the forest preserves as often as I would like, and when I think of my history with forest preserves, I think of degraded areas where the species are invasive in nature and then needs to be have some of that. And I know that's not everything.
Right.
But I think that there are some people who have that in their head is that's
yes.
what the forest preserves are.
Right.
I also think that there are other people who have in their head it's a place to have a picnic. It's
yes.
like that's their only, you know.
Association.
It's like January 1st, get in line. And be the first one or the first 10 or whatever to,
right.
to sign up for the picnic.
Right.
But there's so much more.
There's so much more beyond the picnic grove. And I think it's been an education for anybody who, you know, comes into contact with it. Even for myself, President Preckwinkle, who's, you know, the Forest Preserve president, as well as the county board president, said, you know, her reactions were the picnic. That was her interactions previous to this. And for me, it was similar. But once we sort of got involved and recognized there's all these things to do, you can do things on trails. There's all this restoration work that goes on. You can ride a horse. You can hike. You can bird watch. You can fish. You can canoe. You can kayak. There's all these wonderful things that you can do in nature. And they're different from parks. We're not meant to be a park. You know, parks are great, but this is a different sort of focus.
Yeah, and I think that is something we need to hammer home, too, is that this is not – they are not parks.
They're not.
They are very different. It's interesting, and I'm going to take a couple of phone calls here because rather than have me blah, blah, let's have my listeners ask you questions.
Sure.
But I did read how 100 years ago, and actually 120 years ago – some of the people in the area who had great foresight were saying, you know, the window of opportunity is closing. We're not going to have a chance to save this land. And I look at that.
It's amazing.
Foresight. Yeah. And it blows me away because that's what we say now.
Right.
And it's much harder now. But you think, well, 100 years ago, it was farms and prairies. And,
right.
But they were still saying, we've got to save this.
You know, and frankly, if they hadn't there, you know, we would not be at 69,000 acres. We'd be at much less than that. The reality is that they recognize.
And it's 11% of Cook County land.
11% of the footprint of Cook County are forest preserves. And it's only getting going to be more of an issue over time. More and more people globally are moving into urban areas. They're moving from the farms. They're moving from rural areas into cities. And that's going to be true here. And if we don't continue to protect and expand these lands, you know, we'll have some sort of crisis point here. So it's important that we're doing what we're doing for everybody. And, you know, we're the largest rainwater retention, lands in the county. So the more we build up hardscape around us, the more important these lands are to us. You know, all of our trees, you know, really help to protect and improve the quality of our air. These are all things, even if you never set foot in a forest preserve, these are things that benefit you living in the region. So, you know, we're the largest one in the country and we're the oldest, and we're really happy about that. But we've got to continue to protect and educate people so that they know the value of protecting these preserves 100 years, 200 years, you know, out.
And you've got a couple of great partners that you're working with. Open Lands is one of those partners.
Metropolis Strategies.
And Metropolis Strategies is the other. And, you know, I have Open Lands on the show all the time.
Yeah, they've been wonderful partners. You know, and one of the things we did at the Centennial Kickoffs is recognize, you know, we have hundreds of wonderful partners, Friends of the Forest Preserves, you know, Audubon, all these folks who are long-term partners, but we're developing new partners too because we want to reach out again to communities where people just have not been connected. And that cuts across a lot of socioeconomic areas. It's not just, you know, sort of inner city kids who don't know. There's people who are fairly well educated who just are not connected to the preserves. And so we recognize we need to do a better job. And we want to use a centennial to do that. You get a centennial once 100 years, right? I mean, so run with it.
Don't miss this opportunity
to sort of get out there and get it. And when we talk about Chicago, we want people to obviously think about the lakefront, which is magnificent. And you think about the museums and culture and music. You should also think about the forest preserves in that sentence. That's our goal, to get people to think about it at that level.
That's Arnold Randall, who's the general superintendent of the Forest Preserve District of Cook County. And I'm going to cop to something right now. I don't know why I flipped it, but if I called you Randall Arnold before, and I apologize. I don't think I did. But
you wouldn't be the first person.
I know. The man with two first names.
Right. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Let's go to the lines and bring in Richard. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
In Willow Springs, along, I guess, the Stevenson Expressway, there's a beautiful bicycle path.
Yes. And Centennial Trail.
It's the I&M Trail. Centennial Trail is on the other side.
Other side, okay, gotcha.
But this one is accessible from Archer Avenue and Willow Springs Road. I've been riding it for years, and it's a combination of land owned by the Forest Preserve, Cook County Forest Preserve, the DNR, Department of Natural Resources, and I think the water reclamation people have some land in there also.
That sounds right, yeah.
But it's basically built on what used to be the I&M Canal, and that canal extends currently all the way to the back of Summit, Illinois, right over there at First Avenue. The challenge is that while Willow Springs has this beautiful bicycle path east of LaGrange Road all the way to Harlem Avenue to the back of Summit, it's land owned by the DNR, and it's public land, from what I understand, but it's being leased to petroleum companies, et cetera, for them to use exclusively. We could use that I&M Canal Trail as a bicycle path from in back of Summit all the way to Willow Springs. It's a beautiful section of land. I've kind of been on there, you know, here and there where I can get at. But it's time for this. And the canal used to extend all the way to roughly 35th Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
But they built the Stevenson Expressway on it. But we could really need use that opened up from Harlem Avenue all the way to Willow Springs. It's a beautiful ride. And we in the Southwest Side communities need this here.
Yeah.
I think Summit has been holding it because the public is unaware of it. And, you know, if the public was to approach the DNR and say, you know, hey, this is public land and they are under requirements to open it up to the public if there was enough public support. What can Cook County do? Does Cook County have any land back there? And how could we get the I&M canal bicycle right. path going all the way to Harlem Avenue in back of Summit?
Well, let me say a couple things to that. So I'd first say that IDNR and Mark Miller is the director. They've been wonderful partners to us. We've gotten a lot of resources, financial and otherwise, land resources from them over the years. And so they're right on board with us. We have a good working relationship. So I don't have a problem sort of reaching out to his office to talk about this. But the bigger picture for us is we're doing this trail master plan. It's actually underway right now. And if you go on our website, you know, there you can weigh in on things. We're going to be doing surveys and that sort of thing. So there's a good opportunity to sort of take a look at these sort of connections or where there's, you know, breaks in the connection and in a larger context. Our goal, obviously, is to continue to improve our trail system. That's how the vast majority of people use, other than picnic permits, the vast majority of people use the system. They use our trails for hiking, biking, walking, horseback riding, whatever. And so we'll take a look at it in that context. If you want to, you can go on our Facebook page and send your comments, or you can go on our website and email us your comments, and we'll definitely follow up with you. But I appreciate them.
Thank you for your work. You
bet. All right, and thank you for an excellent call, Richard. You obviously know a lot about this, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. Have a great Sunday. 773-763-9278. Let's go to line two, and I believe if I can make this, why can't I make? There we go. There's Chris. How you doing?
Oh, very good, Mike. You know, just wanted to comment. I live across the street from Deer Grove West, and so I'm either in Deer Grove East or Deer Grove West Forest Preserve probably 5 days a week, you know, almost 52 weeks a year, unless it's like 30 below zero or there's 10 feet of snow out there. But I just want to relate what I saw yesterday walking in Deer Grove East. This is what I saw just walking, you know, spending about an hour and a half just walking along the bike path there. First, they have a pair of cranes there with a baby crane, which is amazing. And then something I never saw before, a live raccoon. I've seen a lot of dead raccoons in the middle of the road before. But this was a live raccoon, you know, about halfway up a tree, which was fascinating. And then there was also a giant tortoise. I mean, this
wow.
was probably two feet, you know, in diameter, maybe longer. So, and not to mention, of course, seeing the hawks that are, you know, just gliding around looking for lunch, you know, flying above overhead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just see a lot of fantastic things out there, and it's incredible when you think about where we are. You know, I mean, all you have to do is look at Schaumburg, right, which is, you know, a couple miles away, and yet you have this marvelous resource right here, you know, that people should absolutely take advantage of.
You know, and that's one of the things you guys are doing with Open Lands. You're working at Deer Grove and Tinley Creek to do interpretive experiences.
Right.
And what other efforts are you?
Well, this for everybody's knowledge, Deer Grove is the first holding that we purchased back in 1916, and then Deer Grove East came later. But so it's fascinating that people had the foresight to protect that property, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful location. But in Deer Grove East, we are looking at doing some interpretive signage and just looking at new ways to get people to better understand what they're looking at, because we don't have mountains here, but you do, mm-hmm. you have all these sort of very interesting ecosystems that need interpretation for people who are not sort of in our world right now.
Yeah.
And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to just say, with Deer Grove West, now if you could only do a really major restoration and get rid of all that buckthorn.
Yeah. It's ongoing. I mean,
I know, believe me, I know.
Yeah, you can see it, right? Yeah, there's a lot of work going on. There's a lot of restoration work going on in Deer Grove East right now. And so it's sort of an ongoing process. And we use for restoration, we use our own staff. We have a lot of volunteers. I always have to recognize volunteers who do a lot of restoration work for us, and we use contractors as well. So that's an area that we're going to continue to grow and continue to do work. But the interpretation piece, I think, is really important, Mike, because I think a lot of people, when they go, if they don't know what they're looking at, I think it sort of washed over them and maybe don't realize the importance of what they're looking at. So I think, you know, we're looking at new ways to better interpret, not with a lot of signage, but really even look at some very creative ways to have sort of maps on the ground or to use, you know, technology here and use podcasts and things like that where everybody's got a smartphone. You can you know, scan in the QR code and you know, get a podcast so you understand what you're looking at or where you are and that sort of thing. So we're looking at better use of technology to interpret our sites as well.
Chris, always great to hear from you. Thank you so much for your comments. You mentioned the campgrounds earlier.
Yes.
You're going to have bunkhouses, tent cabins, tent. What's a tent pad?
A tent pad is a tent pad is a great thing for people who are kind of into camping but not completely sure. Tent pad is you're going to have like a wooden platform and a tent that's already set up on top of it for you. So the camping master plan really contemplated reaching out to people who are, you know, your advanced campers. They just throw a backpack on and they can roll out their bag somewhere, or people who've never camped before. And we want people who've never camped before to think about the preserves as a place to do it. They're not going to have all the equipment. They're not going to have all the gear. So we figured, you know, if you have a tent pad with a tent that's set up on top of it, maybe some cots inside, that's a good alternative for people to get out and, you know, feel safe going out camping.
That's a great idea because it makes it accessible to folks who might not be able to afford the equipment.
Absolutely.
Or aren't even sure what equipment they need or mm-hmm. aren't positive that they're going to like it.
That's exactly right.
That's fantastic.
So we think, you know, just creating different options for people of mm-hmm. different skill levels and financial ability. And so we're going to do everything from individual. I'm going to take my kids out camping too. We're going to reach out to, you know, groups that, you know, churches and organizations that have access to young people, and we'll do group camping as well. And so they'll get taught, you know, a lot of things while they're out there.
And the goal is to have those up by 2015.
Yeah, well, we're going to have something. We're going to have one open sometime next year. The rest will be done by 2015, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, before I let you go, a couple of things that I want to address that I know are issues that are not in the 100-year campaign and mm-hmm. the celebration. Celebration is wonderful. We always have other issues, and one of them is storm water management policy.
Yeah.
You know that you guys are trying to implement a new storm water policy and getting some blowback on that. So where do you stand?
This spring made it very clear. I knew this already from talking to people. I've been on the job 2.5 years, but this spring made it very clear for me what the issues are for people with stormwater management. And so what you have is you've got a lot of, you know, this preserved land that actually holds a lot of water right now. I've got pictures of it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But you've got people and their homes are built right next to the preserves or they're a few miles away, and they're flooding and they're stressed out about it, and it's a very difficult situation. And there's always a lot of pressure on us to take more water to make us a big detention pond, which can't happen. It would destroy the ecology that we have. And
sure.
So, you know, we're working through some of those issues. We're working with MWRD. We are very firm. President Preckwinkle, to her credit, is very firm on this issue that we're not going to do things to harm the preserves. And that means there need to be other creative solutions.
And of course, you're going to get a lot of pressure from municipalities say, hey, look, it's just open space. Let's.
I'm getting it. I've been getting it since I walked in the door. And I understand why, you know, but it's also we've got to, you know, part of the problem is homes are built on floodplains. Part of the problem is that we've overbuilt a lot of our communities and there's nowhere for that water to go. And
well, as we pointed out on the show several weeks ago, when I had Ryan Wilson from the Center for Neighborhood Technology on, mm-hmm. studies show that even the homes that aren't on the floodplains are flooding because of the way we build our cities in part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an issue.
So let alone then we go to the floodplain and we've got even more issues.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But we've got to be more of a leader in this conversation. As you may know, I'm the chair of Chicago Wilderness, which is this great organization of 260 different, you know, open space and advocacy groups. And I've asked Chicago Wilderness to really take this issue on and sort of take some leadership here to look at advocating for smarter planning around, you know, what we're doing here. And that, we, you know, we can't sacrifice our open spaces for flood issues.
Mm-hmm. What about the Quentin Road expansion? You're smiling. You know, it's my job.
No,
I got to hit you with some of these things.
So Quentin Road was sitting when we got here. We, you know, received stacks and stacks of petitions on both sides of the issue, frankly, whether to expand it or how to expand it.
And just so the folks know, it goes through Deer Grove.
Yeah, talking Deer Grove.
And so the plan is to expand it or change the use of it?
There's been plans to expand it for many years now, apparently.
And the question is, will it be a five-lane expansion or a three-lane expansion? And, of course, conservationists are more on the side of the three-lane.
Sure. Yeah,
and I understand totally because you put five lanes in and now you've changed the whole nature. You might as well put up the condos as well.
There would be challenges to expanding. I think, you know, what we've been asked to do is look at it again with the County Highway Department, because they're obviously the ones who want to do the expansion. Is a larger sort of economic development issue in that area related to the roadway. So we're looking at it again. It's we've met with some of our advocates 3, 4, 5 months ago just to get, say, the conversation is open again. Let's talk about it. And they were very articulate about what their concerns are. I know we're taking that back to the County Highway Department and working through some of those issues. I think we're still a long ways from getting it resolved.
Yeah, and you know, it's a tough decision, but boy, if you ask me, it's like, can we get to a point where we just stop building bigger and bigger and bigger roads? I mean, it's not the solution to everything.
It's not, and you know, the reality is we need to, you know, it's a big federal issue, but we need to invest more in public transportation and high-speed rail and all those kind of things, and that's where the real resources have to go to sort of take our reliance off of our personal vehicles so much.
Well, I won't even go into board separation because that's not even...
I don't have any control of that anymore.
Yeah, right, that's true. Listen, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. We're going to do this again.
Okay.
I've been talking to your staff, and I like the idea of having you pop by every once in a while. Yeah. And I hope you enjoy it, too.
I do, and any chance I get to get people to come out and think about coming out to the preserves, I'm glad to do it. So.
And I think I need to go do a remote investigation of all these campsites.
You should.
That'd be great. She'll come in and do that.
We should have you out, actually, when we open them up, and you should come out and do some camping with us.
You know, that'd be great.
I've got kids that'll test it.
Yeah.
All right. And then we'll take cameras and stuff and we'll do it. Arnold Randall, the general superintendent of the Forest Preserve District, Cook County, you're always welcome on the show.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. You have a great Sunday.
You too.
Now that we're seriously into gardening season, I have a question for you. Have you stopped by Alsip Home and Garden yet? You know that there are two locations in Frankfort, Illinois and St. John, Indiana, and both are filled to the brim with brilliant blooms. I checked in just yesterday with CEO Rich Christakis, and he told me that you should take advantage of their sale prices, 25% off on pottery, 30% off on fountains, and he reminded me that they have fresh nursery stock and perennials arriving daily. You can see for yourself online at allsipnursery.com by looking at their fresh arrivals slideshow. And don't forget the reduced summer pricing on annuals. You can get as much as 50% off some of their legendary planters. Fresh tropicals from California are in stock. They're great to put out on your patio or your balcony for the summer. Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Alsip, the best of every season. Alsip is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. And speaking of Dig In...
I'm Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago,
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. I've got to go spread some calcium.
Ooh, I have to do my nails.
We all love a good garden tale, don't we? We all love a good garden tale. Eh, mateys? Arr. So put your feet up on the coffee table and let me tell you about the story of Captain Jack's dead bug brew. Now, where did this remarkable potion come from? Can I drop the thing now? A fermenting bacterium, which is found only in one place in the world. That's right, me sweeties. The ruins of a rum distillery in the Caribbean. The bacterium was discovered in 1983, and the insecticide was developed for widespread use in agriculture, where growers wanted a natural way to control many insects on both ornamental and edible crops. And Bonite got its hands on it, and they produced Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Bonide's Cap'n Jack's products are available in a number of consumer-friendly formulations. Concentrate, ready to use, ready to spray, and in a dust. Make sure you always read and follow label directions. You can get Cap'n Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove, Mel's Ace Hardware in Elmhurst, Gensler Gardens in Loves Park, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you. Don't forget to download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. Go to Bonide.com. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We go to the phones and bring in from the Care of Trees, a Davey company, Paul Hollingsworth. And Paul, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
Fabulous. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood right now, isn't it?
Nice and sunny.
Nice and sunny. Not going to be that way forever.
No.
Or for very long, from what Rick DeMaio said earlier on the program. Okay, first things first. I don't know if you caught the early part of the program, but my lovely my colleague here, sorry, and co-conspirator is what I meant to say, Lisa Albrecht said, vascular system? Trees?
It's been a long time since I was in school. And my biology teacher kind of went crazy and didn't teach us any biology. So
what do you mean he went crazy?
And literally in high school, I don't know why the school didn't intervene, but he would stand in front of our class and weep and cry for a whole year.
Are you serious?
It was a really sad situation. Yeah, I remember we learned about that. Like, they gave us the shape of a cell, and we did dissect a pig, but there was no other teaching or learning that went on for that entire year.
You dissected a pig?
Yes.
Wow.
But there was nothing else that happened.
What was that, Carol?
I just said while he was weeping.
Yes, probably.
Would stand in front of the class and
Paul.
So now I'm going to blame the public education system on my lack
of hear what what Lisa had to go through. So why don't you explain to her the vascular system of a tree in about a minute or less? How's that?
All right. Basically, the vascular system of the tree is the piping system. The movement of nutrients and moisture and water throughout the tree from the root system up into the leaves and into the branches and twigs of the tree.
Okay, and one of the things that you learn when you study trees a little bit, and I'm not an arborist, and you are obviously a certified arborist, right, Paul?
That is correct.
That is correct. And you learned that the vascular system of the tree is right behind the bark. I think a lot of people have misconception that the fluids go up in tree in the heartwood, in the right in the center of the tree, but really all the activity is taking place on the outer edges of the tree, right?
That is correct, right under the bark and the cambium layer.
Right, and the cambium layer is really sensitive. So in order from outside to inside, you've got bark, and then what, cambium layer?
Then your cambium layer, yes, and then into your hardwood.
And then, where's the xylem and phloem?
That xylem and phloem in there, right in that zone of the cambium.
Okay, so the point is they're right inside the bark.
Okay.
So this is why when people bump trees with their lawnmowers and cars and string trimmers.
It's a really soft, tender part.
Yeah, you are crunching the vascular system, and you are preventing the flow of water and nutrients back and forth between the leaves and the roots.
And that's where you'll get a wound that the tree tries to compartmentalize in that area. But, yes, you need to not hit up against especially young trees that have soft bark.
So that takes us to these diseases of the vascular system, like Dutch elm disease and oak wilt. You know, I guess some people listening might say, I thought Dutch elm disease was in the 60s. Why are we still talking about it?
There are still probably around 8% of the elms left from the late 60s. And Dutch elm disease, as a matter of fact, I saw it just this past week, the first signs of it this year.
Really?
Starting the wilting.
So even people who have been protecting their trees for four decades might still end up losing them.
You could. There are materials out there, one in particular that we can inject into the tree, and it will help prevent the disease from germinating within the tree, and it will protect the tree, but nothing is ever 100%.
So we've done better with that. Are we at a point where it's safe to plant elms, American elms, again?
Not the traditional American elms, but there are some great hybrid American elms that have been brought into the nurseries, and those hybrid elms are much better regarding Dutch elms disease. They're resistant to that disease.
So you've also got oak wilt and verticillium wilt. What does it look like if, all right, oak wilt, I assume, is just affects oaks?
Correct. That is correct. More the red oak family than the white oak family. And it will actually, basically, the tree will dry up. The leaves dry up because the piping system that we were speaking of, the vascular system, is filled up to try and stop the disease.
Uh-huh. And what are the symptoms if you are thinking that your tree might have a vascular disease? The symptoms are from what I understand, they're similar to water stress where, you know, you don't have enough water for the tree. So how do you tell what's going on?
There are ways of telling different signs, but it does resemble exactly that, lack of water, because they are wilt diseases. The vascular system is not functioning properly, so in turn those leaves are wilting, they'll brown, turn yellow, and in some cases fall off. So if you're looking up at a tree and you see a section of that tree that you're having these leaves wilt, that's a sign that you need to have an arborist come out and take a look and diagnose.
And what might they be able to do? I mean, how serious a problem is oak wilt?
With oak wilt, if a red oak has oak wilt, unfortunately, it does need to come down. There
Yikes.
Is no stopping it. And in only very few cases can you stop the Chum's disease. By the time we see it, it's usually too late for the tree, unfortunately.
Yikes. Yeah, and, you know, it's just like Sean Kingzett said a few weeks ago about emerald ash borer. Once you see the signs, your tree probably is in trouble.
It's almost too late.
Yeah, that's a shame. So, obviously, if you've got a question, you should have a certified arborist come out and look at your tree, like at the Care of Trees.
That's correct.
Well, I was giving you a plug there. I was gonna let you run with it, Paul. But well, listen, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. It's great to have you guys. Once a month, we bring in the Care of Trees, a great sponsor and a Davey company, and bring them on the show. And I hope you and I get to talk again sometime too, Paul.
I would, Mike. I'd love that.
Well, that's fabulous. Okay, cool. Hey, listen, enjoy your Sunday, and I hope I see you soon.
Well, thank you very much, Mike.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertholdt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Wally isn't a real doctor, so sue him, but only if you're not a real lawyer. The hot weather happening now, along with plenty of rain, brings a lot of bad bugs, and I use that term guardedly. Bad bugs, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Anyway, watch your fruit trees for curled yellow leaves at the top, indicating aphids. We talked aphids in the first hour. I hope you were listening. If you didn't, catch us on the podcast. We're seeing plenty of black, green, and red aphids on fruit trees and veggies. Look at the underside of your tomatoes, eggplants, and peppers for small white flecks, which are whitefly eggs. Twisted tips, rather, on leaves along the dirty-looking specks on the leaves, along with dirty-looking specks on the leaves, could be spider mites. Now, if you bring a sample to Bertholdt's, Dr. Wally will put it under the microscope and take a look. All of the above problems can be handled with organic controls if discovered early enough. Bertholdt's Garden Center is at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertholdtsgardencenter.com. Bertholdt's, get green, let's get growing.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow,
or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
There we go. And by the way, if you want to call the Care of Trees for a free consultation, 800-508-9466. 800-508-9466. Tell them Mike sent you. All right. Why, I'm looking on Twitter, and I have Lola Marina says, I like to pull your hair. What? I have no idea.
I said she was hitting on you. That's.
She's listening, you know. And I'm just kind of wondering. Okay.
She needs to clarify.
Okay. She probably.
Or not.
Or not.
Okay. See, that's the problem. I check one of those tweets out of context when I look at it, because I'm doing other stuff here. So, all right. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next week. Until then, we say go green or
go home.
Go home.
Come on, Carol.
I know I miss that. Go home.